there's no other way. And some of us have tried some other ways. I said that some of us. You know, some of us get mighty successful and forget. It's not that we forget, we just don't want nobody else to know. I want to try this one more again before I have to come walking down pews. There's some of us who have tried some other ways, and you have discovered. Tell your neighbor, put your hand together. That's you too. That's you too. All of us have tried something. Some of us still trying something. Some of us still. Don't have me, poor. Don't have me. Some of us still trying some things. I've been in my office. I done heard them. I ain't going to tell your name, but I've been in my office. I know that's why people faking it. You know, change begins with honesty. I felt that right there. I felt that right there, Ashley. Change begins with honesty. You being honest with yourself, that all of us got an issue. Whether it's going to sleep with butter pecan in our bed, you got an issue. You got an issue. Pound cake and crumbs in the bed. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Philippians. Sandwich right there in the middle of those 13 letters and epistles of Paul. Philippians chapter 2. Two verses for our hearing. Verses 10 and 11. I like that, Tim. Good job. Now you can fix this short and give you a bonus. Please have somebody in there. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. I want to talk this Sunday morning from the subject, as you see, might as well start practicing. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I want to talk this Sunday morning. Might as well start practicing. You're either hermit, ain't paid your cable bill, been out the country, been living in a monastery. If you don't know what's going on right now with this controversy surrounding those NFL players and others who are now kneeling while the national anthem is being played before sporting events. You either have some issue with your eyes or your ears, been gone for a while, cable company found out you run the cable from your neighbor's house. Person next to you in your apartment no longer has Wi-Fi that you can access. Or they done changed their password. Your friend changed their Netflix login information, didn't give it to you. If you do not know the controversy swirling around our nation as a result of one football player by the name of Colin Rand Kaepernick, the former quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, who on August the 14th of 2016, during a preseason game of the San Francisco 49ers, decided to sit down instead of stand up and place his right arm across his chest and pay homage and honor while the playing or the singing of the national anthem. He said after that game, after someone asked him why was he sitting down during the playing of the national anthem, where it is customary and culturally correct to stand up during the playing of the anthem. He said, and I quote, "I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." At some point in time, and it might have been Eric Garner right after Trayvon Martin was killed, and some juries decided that those officers who were involved in their murders were not technically, legally, by the letter of the law, responsible. Colin Kaepernick again sat down to bring light to a dark situation. See, to have sat down to show the fact that this country that was built to be a melting pot, this country was not living up to his ideals. And so to bring attention to injustice, he decided, like Rosa Parks, to sit down during the playing of the national anthem. And then in their last preseason game of 2016 on September the 1st, he opted to kneel during the playing of the national anthem. And listen to him as why he decided not to sit and decided to kneel. He explained his decision to switch was an attempt to show respect to former and current U.S. military members while still protesting during the anthem after having a conversation with former NFL players and a United States military veteran by the name of Nate Boyer. It began with him sitting, which we have forgotten. And after meeting with some veterans, and especially having a conversation with Nate Boyer, he decided out of respect to change from sitting to kneeling. And so now we have this huge controversy pervading the land. And some persons are now boycotting the NFL and will boycott any other sporting events because last year, Colin Kaepernick was released by the San Francisco 49ers. He had a couple years back signed a new deal for $150 million, but was released from his contract, and nobody wants to pick up that $150 million owed to him. I want to pause and remind you that Colin signed the contract for $150 million. Colin Rand Kaepernick is sitting on $150 million. We can boycott all we want to. We can complain about injustice all we want to. But you have you witnessed that he ain't said everybody to boycott or everybody join in what I'm doing? Because he said no. We worried about Colin playing again. It doesn't really appear that Colin is worried about playing again. Colin, unlike any other professional athlete that I know of, and there could be others that I know of, has also done the right thing by sharing that $150 million. Where others have protested, where others have raised their fists, where others have boycotted, Colin has put that $150 million to use in scholarships in Oakland, California. And paying for children to have lunch and paying for children to go and have books and have other things that he's given to Boys and Girls Club. He is not just protesting and not putting his money where he can help solve some issues. And the thing about it is all these people who are castigating him from all colorations, Ray Lewis being one of them who's schizophrenic, we don't see them putting actual money into areas where they can make a difference and change what's going on in our communities. Yes, we can pray, and we should pray, and we have to pray. Yes, we can meet. But in this society, it takes some green. Can I get a witness? To really effect change in our society. So now we have this issue, whether it is unpatriotic to kneel during the playing of the national anthem. We have this issue, whether we as African Americans should be boycotting the NFL. We have this issue where now some high school football players in Texas have been kicked off their football team because they decided to kneel during the national anthem. We had this issue now because we've got a fool at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that added fuel to the fire by suggesting that NFL owners need to kick off these SOBs, and we'll spell it for you outside on the grass if you don't know what I'm talking about. And he has added fuel again to the fire, and now this country is really in turmoil over a flag. And it's the same people who are claiming that Colin and others are unpatriotic and need to get the blank out of our country, but they fly the Confederate flag at the same time. How hypocritical to suggest that we have to stand. And it was very interesting. When I was a little kid, and most of us were kids, you know, we put our hands over our heart when we said the Pledge of Allegiance. Nobody ever put their hand over their heart until after 9/11 for the playing of the national anthem. Now you're even proceed, even if you stand, if you don't put your hand over your heart for playing of the national anthem. But that only happened after 9/11. So from 1787 to 2001, ain't nobody put their hand over their heart. But who wrote that new rule? They're not permanents. They're contingent upon the time. And now we have persons again who are saying it is now unpatriotic and treasonous to not stand during the playing of the national honor, and that you're disrespecting our men and women who are serving in the United States military by not standing. And again, many of them are the same ones who raise the Confederate flag. That is the symbol of a treasonous government that tried to overthrow the same government that that flag represents. Let me say that one more again. You're calling people who are that don't stand, they might still sing.
They might still honor, but they're just not standing. But the same people who are raising a flag of another country, the Confederate States of America, which is another country that tried to overthrow in a war, how hypocritical. And then at the end of the day, worship of a flag and worship of a country is point blank idolatry. And to all of our men and women who we love and adore, who served our country, I know you took a pledge, and I know you took an oath. But it's not to the flag. Even if the words of your oath say that, your oath and your allegiance is to which the flag represents the ideals of freedom, that we have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what you took an oath to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But when a country changes its mission, where life no longer is appreciated, where life on the streets is no longer cultivated, where life on the streets, if you are a certain age and of a certain color, we have a right to protest. And what kills me is that even these people who are supporting the flag and supporting patriotism forget that we went to war to protest a British flag. That the only reason why we are Americans, because we protested and sat down on the king called George. Quote unquote found and find, well, maybe some of mine back. And yours too. If the founding fathers hadn't protested through tea in the Boston Harbor, wouldn't pay their taxes, can I get a witness? We'd still be British. And what we are fighting for is democracy. That's what makes America. We're in a 200 and something year aspect of trying to see if this thing called democracy will work. And democracy says that the people decide the country, that the people elect our office, that the people decide our culture, that the people have a right to voice their opinion. Until your opinion doesn't line up with mine on Facebook. And so now our country is partially divided. There are men and women here right now who ain't following my logic because you think you have to stand and put your hands over your heart as the national anthem is being played. Because that's what the culture has dictated, but not the word of God. For those of you who are serving right now, you are serving our country to make sure that the precepts of our country and our freedoms to have life and liberty, pursuit of heaven, and the free expression that we have the right, that First Amendment right to free speech, that it is protected. And here's the thing about America and about boycotting. All right? Somebody else got to agree to do it. I'll say that again. We might be here a little longer. Tell somebody to cut your greens off now. One woman sat down on a bus in 1955, December 1st, 1955 it was. One woman sat down. All right, one woman's protest led to a movement. All right, because other people agreed with the hypocrisy going on in the South at that time. All right, and so they believed in her cause. And that is why the movement grew. Only thing Colin Kaepernick has asked us to do, he ain't asked nobody else to disrespect the flag. He's not ever asked anyone to disrespect the country or what the ideals of the country are about. He's really doing what Jesus asked us to do. To live out the essence of what this country is all about. And for, again, those of you who have a problem with it, it is, again, at basis idolatry. If you have to eat the king's meat, come help me, three Hebrew boys. If you have to do what the king says does, but your spirit and your consciousness says other words, you got to stand for that which the word of God through his manual says for us to do. And I'm not here to tell you what to do based upon what I think. I'm telling you to follow the word of God. Now, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. For all y'all who want to debate what's sin and not sin, just because you don't do it, it ain't sin. What others do is sin, but what you do ain't sin. That's your debate. It ain't God's debate. You know, you just follow the manual. I said, just follow the manual. You ain't got to worry about having a headache and getting involved in all these debates. Just follow the manual. And you and I call them now, ask all these cut and paste prophets on Facebook. Cut and paste. You done saw something that sound real good. So you cut it and paste it and put it on your post and tweet it out like God gave that from heaven at the hook. That fire came down. You ain't done nothing but cut and paste something somebody else done said. And then you are transformed not by the renewing of your mind, but something you see on social media. But the word says that one of these days, every knee. I said every knee. I said every knee is going to have to bow. Why? Glad you asked. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He is in a Roman jail. The church at Philippi sends an emissary to see Paul in Rome. They bring Paul a gift while he is in Rome. In other words, they come and put money on Paul's books. Y'all ain't got no family members, no friends, and y'all trying to act like y'all don't know what it means. Bougie and black. So they sent an emissary to come put some money on Paul's books in a Roman jail. And after Paul sees their love for him, he writes back to them this letter, which is, I think, five chapters it is, just to thank them for being who they are, thanking them for the friendship and the fellowship that they have one for the other. He thanks them because you all didn't have to take the time up to take this collection up for your pastor or for your spiritual leader. Not only did you all take this up, you didn't have a plane, you didn't have a train, you didn't have no automobiles, you had somebody walk all the way from Greece to Italy. Or however way they came, boat or whatever, to bring me some love. They brought him a tangible expression of love. They didn't call him and say we love him. They didn't text him and say we love you. They didn't tweet we love you. They didn't post we love you. They took the time out to bake the pastor a pound cake. I went left. Okay, I come back. I'm sorry. I threw y'all off. I'm sorry. time out to give that pastor a tangible expression of love. And in return, he is grateful for their friendship and their fellowship. And he starts off in chapter 1 talking about their friendship and their fellowship. He starts off in chapter 1 thanking them for taking the time out to do something for him. He takes the time out to thank them in chapter 1, knowing that he is still in prison, but God is making a way out of no way. He lets them know in chapter 1 that his position in prison is for a purpose. His position in prison is for a purpose. And that purpose is so that the gospel might be spread. Because he understood that bad news travels faster than good news. Nobody won't say nothing right now. Come on back with me. The bad news is that the pastor is in prison. And they don't ask no questions why he's in prison. They don't need to know what's going on in his life and whether he's going to show up in the pulpit next Sunday. They ain't worried about all that. They know he's in prison and that he needs their prayers. And so he thanks them for standing by his side while he's in prison, not going to another church that next Sunday. God forbid something happened to Ron and he's not me. They show up and then they show him their love. And then he says in chapter 2, there be therefore any consolation in Christ, of any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, that is also in Christ Jesus. He says, even though we are all suffering, he says that the benefits of our suffering is that we become like-minded in Jesus Christ. Whoa! He says the results and the manifestations of our sufferings is that we become like-minded with Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying what David said one time, that it's good for me to be afflicted so that I might know thy statutes. That this suffering is for a person, purpose, but it's also for a season. That trouble don't last always. That joy will come in the morning. But you just got to hold out and change will come. He says that my prayer for you is that you become like-minded with Jesus Christ. So that when you find yourself in a pickle, when you find yourself in some vicissitude of life, when you don't know which way to turn, that because you think like Christ, that you will make the right decisions for the glory of God. Then he continues by saying that after you're like-minded like Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A man said, I and the Father are one. He said, a human being born of a woman said that I and the Father are one. He had the courage and the strength to go against all religious tradition, all rules, all laws, all cultural mores. Trying to teach y'all something. Oh, don't mess with y'all flag. I see that. Against the grain. Against the rules. Against what everybody else is doing in the stadium. That he saw it not robbery to say that I am equal with God. That when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, I don't want to get no glory for standing up for the right thing. Help me so. Now, y'all with me now. Y'all don't come back. I don't want to get any glory for just doing the right thing. I don't need no reputation. I don't need no plaque. I don't need no anniversary. I don't need no check. I'm just going to do the right thing and do what my Father sent me to do. And then here it is. And it took up the form of a servant. Took up the form of a servant. Here we got to beg Christians, better to be a Christian. All of us claim we Christian. Like-minded. Like Christ. Act like Christ. But we got to beg you to serve. We got to make buttons to encourage you to do something for Christ. When the word says that the thing he did was serve. That the number one manifestation of your love for Jesus Christ is to serve. That if you want to be like him and act like him, you have to serve. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There it is. He didn't need no reputation. He didn't need no plaque. He didn't need any citation. He didn't need any medal or honors to all of our brothers and sisters in the military. He didn't need no commendation. He didn't need a staple on your W-2 or your DD-214 with all the honors and rewards you've gotten for your valor and your service. God didn't give him none of that. He got no retirement party. He got no Social Security. He got no IRA. He got no 401k. He got no big house on the hill. He ain't had no Cadillac or no Lexus to drive. But you know what God gave him? God gave him a name. I said God gave him a name. A name that is above all other names. And you know why? It's a name that's above all other names. Because you still call that name. When you die, we're going to stop. When you die, your name over. Ain't nobody calling your name no more. But he gave him a name. He gave him a name above all other names. I should have one or two more witnesses on that name thing right there. I just thought in my spirit that even Baptist folk get excited. You don't have to be Pentecostal or apostolic to know that when you need something, you better call the name Jesus. I said, when you find yourself in a pickle, you better call the name Jesus. When you don't know what's about to happen, you better call the name Jesus. I bet you if a car run the red light and almost hit you, you'll say, Jesus. Y'all see something fine and you say, say yes. That at the name of Jesus, watch the text. Hear what Trump says. That at the name of Jesus, that's when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at the name of Jesus. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. Not at a flag. I'm sorry, not even at the national anthem. Not in an arena or a football game. Not when you win the lottery. Not when you're going through something. But the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee has got to bow and every tongue has got to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I said, is Lord? I said, is Lord? And one of these days, soon and very soon, everyone that believes on him has got to bow. I said, it's got to bow. Anybody know you've got to bow at the name of Jesus on that day when he is Lord of lords and King of kings? You've got to bow. You've got to get on. on your knees, both of them, just not one, and say, holy, 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 holy.